This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm a fighter. If anybody ever questions how much I want it, just turn on this tape.
He's still a Brown. And all I have to think about with the Browns is, what the hell is your plan?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What the hell is your plan, Cleveland? That's why teams are being like, I'm not going to trade for him right now. You're going to have to cut him.
Earlier on the show, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast, Ross Tucker. Dallas Morning News columnist, Tim Kalishaw. Coming up, four-time NBA champion, John Spider Sally. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. John Sally's about to join us in studio to talk about everything going on in the NBA playoffs and so much more, and his new movie, Sneakerella, which is on Disney+. We'll have a great chat with Spider Sally. But we kick off hour number three on this program here on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM 85, our Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, as well as our Odyssey app. With something that happened Friday. You may have seen this on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, our Twitter handle at Rich Eisen Show. We put it out there as well. Or you may have seen it live on Peacock. Steve Mariucci came in on Friday's program. Now, we were going to talk about the schedule release show from the night before, but when Mooch comes, you know, I never know. Like, we just chopped it up. We told old some old-time stories. It was awesome. Great. So I finally got him to tell a story that I knew he had never told publicly. And it was based off one of the most iconic football photographs you'll see. And 49er fans know it on site. That moment in Candlestick Park when Bill Walsh took a knee and drew up a play in the dirt with Joe Montana. And Mooch told the story publicly that he had never told publicly before of him purposefully calling a timeout during a game to try and get a similar photograph of him with Steve Young. Even though Steve Young had no idea what was going on.
Not in on it.
All right, here's the story in case you missed it, boiled down to just a minute plus. Go for it.
So now I'm coaching the 49ers.
You're the actual coach of the 49ers.
I'm actually coaching the 49ers. And Joe, you know, I didn't coach Joe. He was gone. Steve Young was there. We're playing a game, and we're winning pretty big. Second quarter. Second down. I'm looking around and up, boom, there's Mike Sagaris. Mike Sagaris is right on the sideline. And I went, boom, oh my God. That's probably where he was sitting or kneeling when he took that photo of Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. So I went, timeout.
You called a timeout in an actual NFL game.
Absolutely no reason to call a timeout at all. All right? Steve looks at me and goes, what? Time out. Come here. And he goes, why? I go, come here. So as he's approaching, I take a knee. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pose for this picture. I don't give a shit. So I come down, take a knee. And I'm waiting for Steve to come and take a knee right next to me on the field, right? So all of a sudden, our equipment guy, Kevin Lartigue, he goes, Steve, you want some water? And I'm sitting right there, and he took a right. He goes over there, and he's getting water in his helmet with Greg Knapp and all those other guys. And I'm sitting here like this. This is not what I was thinking about right here. Steve Young's supposed to be here with me. He's over there drinking water. And then I go, okay, so I'm going to have to do it some other time here. And they came back up, and here comes Steve. Goes, what? I go, nothing. Good job. Let's go back in the game.
You didn't get the picture. And joining us now on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line, is the Hall of Fame quarterback who had no idea what was going on at the time. Now, I guess has now been read into the situation, the great Steve Young. How are you, Steve?
Rich, now the other side of the story, right? I mean, when you have Mooch, there's always two sides of the story because Mooch is always in his own kind of world. And that was the perfect example of Mooch out there on his own on an island. You know, I turned to Teak and I said, is Coach all right? I thought he was going to throw up. I didn't know, you know, the idea that he was wanting to recreate an iconic photo down on the ground at Candlestick Park on a Sunday afternoon at 2:15 in the second quarter of a Falcons game on second and five is only Mooch. only Mooch could have that going on in his brain, and then go down to a crouch and have all of us wonder, is he all right? He might be sick. I think he might be sick.
So you remember this moment then? You remember?
Well, because we laughed about it. Because like, Mooch, what are you doing? You know? What? Mooch was, look, there are countless Mooch stories. One of my favorite humans, as you know, Rich,
yes.
You feel the same way about him.
Yes.
I mean, the love that I have for Mooch is not typical for a coach and a player. I mean, he's just a guy that was like a big brother family, you know, the connections were amazing. And so, you know, he was so vulnerable. You know, like the fact that he'd tell you that story. I mean, it's a goofball story that he wanted. He dreamed of having a picture of, I don't know, who dreams that? I don't know, only Mooch would dream that.
Well, I mean, he saw the photograph and he thought about it. So now, so when you heard that he was, what his true intentions were, you did not know at the time, right, that he wanted to do that, right?
No idea. But you know what? Here's the funny thing, is that Mooch calling timeout in a weird place was not that unusual. You know, it just wasn't that. It wasn't a shock. And it might have been, you know, hey, we needed a, because he would do it. He'd come on the sidelines and what was that about? Like, I don't know. I just felt like you guys needed a break. You know, I was like, oh, all right. Thanks, Mooch. I appreciate that.
Well,
so you never knew. You had to kind of just go with Mooch. He's at his own program.
So then when you heard the story, now you remembered the time and now you understand he wasn't sick. Well, I mean, he wasn't physically sick.
I thought he might be sick. Yeah, we all wondered if he was okay.
Oh, my God.
And he popped up. But, you know, there's the other one in Green Bay when his ears were frozen. And, you know, we come to the sidelines and I go, Mooch, your ears, you're going to fall off. They look like they might be. They turned red and now white. He goes, Steve, with this head of hair, you can't cover it up, man. I'm like Cindy Crawford with the, you know, you don't put a heavy coat on Cindy Crawford, bro.
Is that what he said?
You got, this hair does not get, this hair needs to be out.
Oh, my God.
That's great hair.
All right, so then I guess in all fairness, did you ever audible something that Mooch didn't know? Like, is there something that in your...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if there's countless stories of, you know, because he and Mike Holmgren are best friends, right? And they kind of grew up, you know, Mike got Mooch are kind of like big brother, little brother, too. And so it was, I enjoyed Mike Holmgren, you know, his neck would, you know, you get him mad. Mooch, I couldn't get him as mad as Mike. You know, Mooch would, he had a safety valve that wouldn't let him get so upset. So he'd get mad, and then he'd be like, oh, sure, you tell him whatever, you know, and he'd just shake it off. Or Holmgren and Mike was, he didn't have a valve, and so his head would start to get bigger and redder, and it would look like it would explode. So I enjoyed torturing Mike more than Mooch, but they were both fun to have fun with and do things that, you know, would frustrate them. Like, you know, time out, come over here. And they're like, no. But I'm going to talk to you. Like, I'm not coming over. Like, I'm just going to – and then I would just turn away, and then in the huddle, and then guys would say, Mooch, he's freaking out. He's freaking out. He's coming out on the field. I'm like – I'd walk further. Like, I'd go over to the visitor's side. Like, if you want to come out halfway on the field to try to get me,
oh,
I'm just going to go over closer to Mike Ditka or whoever's over there, you know? Like, we're just going to, I'll wave at him and say, what's going on, coach? You know, the other side of the field, because, you know, I'm not going to, not giving in.
Oh,
and Mooch would, it was fun.
Well, the funny thing is, Steve, is that, you know, I guess you got him at the lowest to the ground ever, unbeknownst to you, because he wanted to take a photograph with you and recreate it. And you definitely got him the highest he's ever been either, because there's a photograph I know that's in his office of him leaping in the air on that throw to Terrell Owens.
Story. That's an amazing picture. It's amazing they caught him that way, because, you know, Mooch, I'm sure he was a great athlete. Like Holmgren again. Coach Holmgren played at USC, you know, in front of OJ. Like, you know, and we always made fun of him. He never threw it. He just tossed it backwards. But but Mooch, I'm sure, was a great athlete. But by the time I ran into him, I just don't know if that was quite as evident. And so to see him a good 36 inches levitating
off the
ground, and you know why, because all the emotion of that moment is across the field. It's Mike Holmgren and Packer, where I was born, and the Ooper, you know, how many times you heard the stories about living up in the Ooper in Upper Michigan, and, you know, so it was all, So all that levitation was all the emotion that he felt at that moment, and only Mooch could, you know, because he's got all that emotion. So I could go on for hours about Mooch, but the fact that he wanted to recreate an iconic, like Marilyn Monroe with the dress in the fan, you know, like he wants to recreate these images in his mind of I'm Bill Walsh, you know, and I want to feel like I'm Bill Walsh just for a minute, you know. Only just think that. You know?
Well, he told me, Steve, when I showed me that photograph of him leaping in the air as you're throwing to Owens in that famous he caught it moment, is he knew that you had to get the ball over the linebacker, and that was his body language to help you get the ball over the linebacker.
Yeah, a lot of. Well, so that's, when I finished my career, Rich, I had a concussion, and it was a big deal, and I kept telling Mooch, "I'm fine. What are you? Stop! You're being weird." And only Mooch can turn to me with it, like in tears, and tell me the love that he had for me. And if I was your father, I will not give you. You know, so like Mooch is soup to nuts. Like he's all in every way. So when you think about that kneeling down in that picture, you got to know Mooch is in. And every way in your life, wanting to make sure that you do well. So he's an amazing human.
He is, man. Hey, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you one football question. If you indulge,
of course.
Steve Young,
of course.
What advice would you give Baker Mayfield right now, Steve Young?
You know, you can't play the victim. Victimization has to be put in a bottle and buried in the ground. And deep, because there's just too much. It's too easy to play victim, and you are. Look, there's a lot of things that are out of your control. A lot of things that have you've been done wrong, or whatever. You cannot in the NFL survive and play the victim. You have to now leave it behind, own every bit of it, own it, own every mistake you've ever made, own how you got here. Don't blame other people. You got yourself here. You can say that. Oh, I got. Screwed, somebody did this wrong, but you're here. You're where you are, and if you own it, that would go a long way for everybody to feel like Baker Mayfield can make the elements of a comeback, if you want to say, Rich. I know it's big. It's not a comeback yet, but I mean, it's like you can't get there in a spirit of victimization. It can't happen.
So, I mean, his retort might be, well, you know, you weren't terribly happy with your situation back in the day. And
right.
You did,
yep.
You know, and you did let it be known on occasion, right?
Yep.
And so
yep.
what would you say is
I'm saying that I get the sense that it's you have to have an ownership to the moment. In other words, you can complain all you want, but own it. Like I screwed up here. I screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I got myself here and I'm going to get myself out of it. And I think that's the issue that, you know, as hard as it is to own where you are, that's the most important piece to the puzzle. And then you tell that future team, look, I get it, and I own it, and I'm going to go, whatever I got to fix, I'll fix. Because that's what you need. You need to have the belief in that starting quarterback that can take care of all issues. And I feel like he could probably do himself a nice favor. Like, look, you can complain. I'm not saying you can't complain, but I own the fact that I'm here. I've essentially been cut from the Cleveland Browns, and I'm responsible.
And what's your two cents on Trey Lance? What do you? Because it seems to me that there's a whole legion of Jimmy G hasn't been cut yet because there's a hedging of a bet, or the Niners aren't going to be any good next year because Lance isn't really ready. What are your two cents on the current Niner situation?
The word ready is just loaded. It's not right. Like he's played two games, so he's not ready. It's an easy, you know, it doesn't mean anything because it's like, of course, who's ready? You know, what I mean, like you got to go play and got to prove it out. One new thing about Trey that everyone has to understand is that he has not played a lot of football, you know, in general, and a lot of things that you figure out in college. Over the years is, you know, just marking receivers and understanding what your arm can do and understanding, you know, like it's just things that just you figure out over by reps and doing it over and over. And it just, when they say he's not ready, it's because it's just, there's not that body of work of him being on the field. They see what's on the field, like amazing talent, amazing arm, and all the things, but there's so much more to quarterbacking. So when someone says he's not ready, well, it's easy to say because he's, hasn't done it. But I think the more important thing is he capable of, you know, kind of the on-field recognition of, routes, who's, getting through the routes, who's open, anticipatory throwing, getting the ball out, and it seems like that he has that. The thing that you worry about the most about being ready, I feel like he has. Now, what I do worry about, but it's still early, so I don't know, mm-hmm. I kind of have a feeling, is this sense of accuracy, the sense that I know where my brain knows where to go with the ball, but my arm's not necessarily, cooperating. And that's the biggest to me, Rich, as we get into the Trey Lance kind of issues. That's the issue that I really want to focus on this summer and as he gets into the fall playing, is his arm connect, because I do believe he has the ability to kind of find the open guys and the processing power that you worry about. He has that. But can his arm do the work? And that's just that you can't work on that. You can work on it on the edges. You either have that or you don't have that. And that's the number one thing I kind of want to see in the fall.
Well, one thing I'd be concerned about is he doesn't have Debo, although it does appear that
Well, that's another – look, Debo did himself a little bit of a disservice, whispers around how he felt about this whole situation. And so I just think that Debo, whatever's going on, needs – again, plays the – no victims here. Like, if you don't want to be here, stay it. Why? What I'm doing, and or not. But, I mean, Debo is for the 49ers, I can't think of a more valuable player in the league. If you had to choose somebody to come play for the 49ers, I think the number one most valuable player that you could choose is Debo, if he's focused and in shape. And I want to make sure that if Debo is not focused and not in shape, then that's another story. But to me, getting Debo in shape and focused on the 49ers with Trey Lance is vital, to say the least.
I agree. No doubt about that. Well, Steve, I'm glad that Mariucci finally told that story, because he told it privately about 3 years ago. And every single time I see you, I'm like, he'd get so upset if I'm the one to tell it. So I'm glad that we can now all talk about it. And that I love that you all thought at the time Mooch was getting ill.
I said he was ill. I was sick. You see, is Mooch okay? But the thing is, no one cared. He's on his own. He's got to handle his business.
Steve, take care of yourself, man. You're the best. Thanks for the call. Okay. We'll chat soon.
Rich.
Take care.
See
That's you, the great Steve Young, Hall of Famer, the worldwide leader in sports and Monday night coverage. Nobody cares. Like, okay, let's take a break and bring John Sally out here on his birthday.
Hey,
here to promote Sneakerella on Disney Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. TJ's just sneaking some pics. That's his job as the social media grandmaster of the Rich Eisen Show. John Sally here on the program in studio talking about the new film available to stream exclusively on Disney Plus, Sneakerella. It is, again, it's a music-driven film about coming up with a sneaker design and living out your dream, and it's a Cinderella version called Sneakerella.
It's dope.
And you are rapping in it.
I am rapping in it. And to the point where, you know, literally some of the battle rappers I like, some of my best hip hop is battle rap. And some of the battle rappers hit me up. My boy DNA hit me up and was like, you did well. I should have been in that movie though. You know, guys always trying to get in. But I was so happy when I did this movie that when I came home, I kept saying, this is the best I've ever done. And I said, this movie is fire. And everybody was like, of course you're going to say that. You're in it. I go, nah. I sat back behind our great director, Liz, and I watched some of the scenes, and I saw what it looks like. You know, I'm trying to be like you, Rich, get my own studio right here in Beverly Hills. And
since when is this in Beverly Hills?
Jason.
Adjacent.
Yeah, I don't want anybody, you know, running up in here. So I'd sell them Beverly Hills.
I like it. John Sally here on the program. All right. So again, that's available on Disney Plus right now. What do you make of the current NBA playoffs, John? What do you got?
That's right. They play basketball in May.
And you're a four-time NBA champion.
Yeah,
you're
but I was in trance. I was hypnotized like Mike Tyson. I don't even remember it. What I look at is one, a Morant has become probably one of my favorite players. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is still my favorite player. Kyrie Irving, number two. I think it's weird that the way we look at things now, you remember when you used to work for the other network?
Yes.
You know, we kind of knew. You knew who was better. Nowadays, you don't know. I would be afraid to play against Luka. I'm telling you personally, that's how good he is. And I know Larry Bird, he's this much below Larry Bird, or maybe that much. Mm-hmm. But Larry Bird would put fear in me and everyone else just like Luka does. And I watched him going, man, this dude is every move Kevin McHale's ever had plus, and he can put the ball in the basket. I'm really happy for my boy Jason Kidd and the Dallas Mavericks. I'm a Mark Cuban fan. And I think they're going to go to the finals.
You think they will beat the Warriors? What makes you
think that? I don't want them to because I love Draymond Green. Draymond is my favorite player in the NBA because he reminds me of a Piston.
I was about to say, Draymond Green could have played on those bad boy teams.
Yeah, and that would have been a problem. I would have been sitting on the bench, so I'm glad he's now. But his mentality is definitely Piston all day. And I had Boston. I was on another network. I had Boston winning. And then I sat and I thought about it. I'm really going to go with Dallas. I'm really thinking Dallas is going to pull this out.
The whole shooting match you're talking about.
I think Dallas is going, because if Dallas gets into the finals, I don't see Jason Kidd wanting to get this so bad. Well-deserved. I'm glad they hired him. I think they got the size and they understand who to go behind.
Well, I mean, Luka having 27 at half, the Suns only having 27 as a team. Yeah. I've never seen that before. Certainly not in a game seven, not in the NBA playoffs, where a player on one team is going off so significantly that he has the same number of points as the opposing team does at halftime. I've never seen anything like that. So when you said that Larry would put the fear in you, like, walk me through that. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so, Rich, you know, we're going up to play. And I'm a Celtic fan since I was 15 or whatever.
Even in Brooklyn, New York?
That's because I didn't like the Knicks because everyone else liked them. And the Celtics always won and the Knicks always lost. and all the New Yorkers, I don't really care. My mother would say to me, hey, tell Patrick I said hello. And then I would, because I played with him since we were 16, I would elbow him and say, that's for my mom's. So Larry got in the game one time, and for some reason, Chuck Daly puts me in. And Larry, you know, was between Len Bias and myself to be drafted to the Celtics. And Red Auerbach made a smart move by taking Len Bias. God rest his soul. I wish he would have not done the wrong thing the night before or the night after we got drafted. But with that being said, Larry knew me since I was a sophomore because we would go up there. It's not illegal to go up and be in a camp in Marshville in Boston, and you work in a camp, but really you're there to play against those nighttime games. So Larry knew who I was, and I get in, Chuck Daly has me starting one time, and Larry looks around and goes, what's up, Sal? I said, nah. He goes, you on me? I said, yeah, I got size on you right now. I've been watching every movie. He goes, y'all not double teaming? And he's looking around, he goes, yo. I go, nah, it's just me, fella. He goes, mouse in the house. Mouse in the house. And they change the play. And he catches the ball. He does this. And he shoots it. He says, Sal, you better ask for a double team, bro. I got two quick fouls because I'm smart like that. Yeah, he was. And he was always in shape. And he hated Bill Laimbeer. So when you got a guy that hates somebody, he's playing for entirely different
reasons. Well, I mean, you've seen everybody's seen the footage of, and if you don't, just go ahead and Google Larry Bird, Bill Laimbeer. I mean, Bill, you know, threw him to the floor.
No.
Right? I mean, like, he threw him
happened.
Come on.
Larry pump fake. Dennis went in the air. Dennis's foot got caught, and he caught Bill. So they all twisted and went to the ground, and then Larry started punching him. And I was pulling Larry off, and he was trying to get away. But that, you know, Bill didn't hit people illegally. He hit them very legal.
John, he threw him to the floor.
I'm telling you, Your Honor, if we can afford that, but I know we can't afford it.
No, because we don't have the
NBA is funny on their clips. It literally was Dennis's leg got caught in Larry, and Dennis fell, and then Bill got caught in it. I promise you, I watched it 1,000 times.
Chris is watching it literally right
and
now.
And Chris, am I wrong? It's Dennis Rodman.
He throws him to the floor.
He didn't. No, it was Paris that punched him 8,000 times to the ground, and the referee said, I don't see anything. It was like it was a mob hit. I thought I was
Chris,
blind until I see
judging,
you walk in.
This is the diehard, the biggest Larry Bird fan.
I mean, I'm a Celtics fan,
or...
but I mean, Bill Laimbeer gives Larry Bird like a rock bottom.
No, he doesn't. You just listen to Johnny Mouse. Oh, this is the most disgusting thing that ever happened. Nah, Bill didn't do anything, man. Bill was a Larry fan. If Bill was a Celtic, he'd be the greatest Celtic of all time.
By the way, you're not wrong.
No, because
he'd
be
his
the greatest,
up on the rafters.
Greatest Celtic of all time. They made a mistake by not getting Bill Laimbeer.
How good would
Bird kicks him.
Exactly.
Kicked him. I mean, he hated him, right?
He hated him.
They hated him.
Yeah. But that's a good thing because usually you can't play through hate.
John Sally here on the Rich Eisen Show. How good, or you wouldn't want it, a winning time on the Bad Boy Pistons be?
One, let me just say this about winning time. I salute them for doing the best they can. And people have to understand television and film. One, you don't have a lot of locations. So we never bring a girl in the locker room. That's not impressive. It smells like popcorn and athlete's feet. So not a good place to be.
Yes.
Then I think the Kareem mentality, the way he was moving, seemed to look like Cap. And Magic said this guy's nowhere close. And he's not close, but boy, that smile and the charisma and the looks.
Right.
Are great. I think Jerry Buss was not a bumbling. I think they played Jerry Buss and Jerry West, Dr. Buss, and Jerry West completely wrong. Jerry West is not like that. Jerry West is, if he's going to curse you out, he's going to pull you close and it won't be swear words. It'll be like, hey, man, get your butt together. You know, he's on that. Mm-hmm. He's intense about winning. And without Jerry West, they don't win. And I say this all the time, they're not even at that point. He manufactured or put that squad together for them to win. And it was just he and Irvin. But besides that, I watch your show. So when what's his name? Norm Nixon's son was here.
Yeah.
Holy sweat, he got his dad down pat.
I would agree, yes.
Yeah, he got him down pat. So I you didn't know I watch your show, did you?
John,
yeah. All these years, I've been wishing to be on. You've been saying, don't worry. When we have a slow season, I'll put you on, Sal.
That's ridiculous. These are all falsities. But you're here now, at least. Yes. That's great. Yes. But.
Yes.
So, by the way, you just noticed a top-notch broadcaster, which, John, Sally, you have spent many, many moons doing this.
Watch it.
You just didn't answer the question. How...
I'm like Farrakhan.
How good, or you wouldn't want it, a winning time on the Bad Boy Pistons with Isaiah and you and Lambeer and Rodman, right? Yeah. Buddha, right?
Oh, my God.
And,
Rick Mahorn.
And Mahorn. And
Mark Aguirre, right? Yeah, Daddy Rich. Let me just say, man,
how good would that be?
It would be. There's a lot of things that I today is my birthday. I turned 40 again.
Yes.
Yes. On my 18th anniversary of my 40th birthday.
Yes, your 18th anniversary, yeah. 40th birthday. Yes.
But there was things going on that I didn't know. Right. I found this out when I was watching Michael Jordan's Last Dance. If we knew we were in their head as much as we were in their head, you would never have heard about Michael Jordan. We would have run that into the ground. That's the first thing. Second thing is all the different things that were going around and happening. You know, when I left practice, I went to lunch and I was trying to find something fun to do, go bowling, get my nails done, call about, yeah, I love getting my nails done because the girls hang in the nail salon. And and everybody likes pretty feet. And I had ugly feet at the time, but the nails were perfect. You know what I'm saying?
You know?
But, by the way, you could look at me and say that, too. You don't have to look at TJ. I mean,
well, Jay's over my shoulder. I got to watch out, you know? He didn't give me the signal. You got me, Jay?
You know I got you, Sal.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we in the Vietnam War. Right on,
I got
brother.
Your six, as they say, Smarty. I got your six.
I tell you. I think it would be amazing because when they found out Dennis Rodman, this is true. When we got there, you know, we were just the two rookies. And then Dennis started hanging out and we started winning and he was so exciting. And the people that came on to Dennis, he was like, hey, man, you got to come out with me. And at that time, I didn't really go to clubs that didn't have black folks in them. It was 1986. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to those clubs, but when I finally went to the club that had less black folks in them, the clubs he was hanging in, oh, boy, we were pissing a lot of fathers and grandfathers off. generational racism out of the window. But I couldn't believe how they were like, Dennis was like, this is the most amazing thing in the world. And we had to play basketball. So I used to laugh that they paid me to do what I would do for free. And I think Isaiah was such a thinker and to me, sometimes an overthinker. And then we had Adrian Dantley, who listened to David Falk as opposed to knowing Isaiah personally. And I didn't realize it was a beef there. I didn't understand hierarchy. I didn't realize, oh, Adrian is a star in this squad and he's coming to be with this star. Mm-hmm. But who's going to be the man? That was dumb to me. I didn't get that. And it turned out Isaiah is the man. So
yes, it did.
Understand that or you get traded. So I I didn't realize all of that stuff going on. But if we were to pull out some things, man, now that I'm in my 50s, man, we our show would be a little bit better than winning.
I've got to tell you, I think we're onto something here because those Bad Boy Pistons years were something else. And, you know, the crazy thing is, Rodman, so many people just remember Rodman from the Bulls years, Certainly the Last Dance. When he first came in that league, there was there's nobody like him, right?
No. And I was always, you know, the fact that he was out of Texas, Dallas, I knew he was an alien. I knew he was an alien, you know, all that land and Atlanta. If you don't believe that Dennis Rodman is an alien, watch him run, right? He runs like all the way up here, fast as everything.
And skips, right?
And skips and has asthma and has hands for cattle. So, Rich, this is crazy. It's my rookie year, and it's All-Star break. Mm-hmm. And so I go to Atlanta to try to find as many girls as possible. He goes back, I think, to Oklahoma or somewhere in Texas. It might have been, yeah, somewhere in Texas.
Yeah.
And he has to castrate 300 calf. Dennis's job was to jump off, grab the calf, and hold it till they castrated it, or what's the word, neuter?
Yeah, got it done.
Yeah. And then let him go. And so I get back, and man, I had a, woo, man, it was off the chain. What happened? Man, I had to deal with all the cattle. I said, how many? He said, 300. I said, in 3 days? Yeah. I said, bruh, you need a better agent or something. And I knew how strong he was, and I knew no one jumped like that, no one played like that, and he was from another world, and he is from another world. When you look at him, you realize, and he should have been in Men in Black.
Just the skin suit.
Just the basketball skin. I mean, they use Biz Markie. They might as well use Dennis from his planet.
Oh, man. I could talk to you for a million years, John Sally, so... What do I want to ask? Oh, how about this one?
I was going to say, who plays Chuck Daly in The Winning Time?
Oh, who plays Chuck Daly in The Winning Time?
I don't know. That's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would never peg John C. Reilly for Jerry Buss. That's for sure. I would never have done that.
He looks close to it.
Or what about you? Or what about Dennis? Or let's cast this baby.
Oh yeah,
you can play yourself.
Yeah. But you know,
seriously,
because I'm still in shape.
You are. You look the same. Like,
yeah.
You don't
so
age,
when you eat this
John.
Vegan diet and you don't put bad things in your body and you get the best cannabis you can possibly have, you want to use me. You see, I slipped that in there. You want to
again? You didn't address me on that.
I didn't because I'm looking at your fingertips. And it's only scotch. It's scotch. A little bit of white wine on a Sunday.
As a matter of fact, I got ready for you, John. You know,
John, you say Rich's hands never rolled something? Is that what
you're
getting at?
No. Rich, he got kids. Let me tell you what's about to happen to you, bro.
Okay, what's happening to me?
14, your kids forget who you are and they become their own person. And then they start beating up on the younger one. And then they turn 14. And then he starts beating on the younger one. The younger one literally is in a whole different span. So in the next 9 years, you're going to have no hair without you cutting it. You understand? I used to have a high top, and then I had daughters, and now I have literally no hair. Except out of my ears and my nose. I'm like an old Irish dude.
So we need to get in Sneakerella while we can, is what
yes.
you're saying, right?
Watch Sneakerella with your kids on Disney Plus.
We definitely will.
Oh, it's a really good family movie, too.
We're locked in. We are going to do that this week. If not this week, then this weekend. Available on Disney Plus. Now I know what I wanted to ask you. So you said that you learned stuff about the Pistons through The Last Dance. Did you learn anything about your year with the Bulls through The Last Dance?
Yeah.
At all?
Let me tell you. One, I should have stayed on the squad, but Jerry Krause wanted, he had this thing about Robert Parrish. And so he gave Robert Parrish $2.5 million for, I think he played 17 games. He just loved Robert Parrish. So he wanted Robert Parrish on the squad. If I would have stayed, mm-hmm. I would have had my 7 championships right now, and I'd be able to talk smack to
Ori.
well, not Ori, to Michael Jordan, which I would rather do. Like, I it was funny because I knew I was coming on, and Tom Brady is definitely one of my favorite superstars. Uh-huh. And I said, I should start a controversy today on Rich Eisner and say, Michael Jordan is the Tom Brady of basketball. That would piss everybody off because, you know, I like messing with everybody, calling Michael the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. I think he is, but I like saying that he's not. But Tom Brady has 7 championships and Michael has 6. And Michael is so competitive. I guarantee you that bothers him. I guarantee you.
I love that.
Bill Russell having more, he's cool with that. But anybody else, MJ just so competitive. But what I learned seriously about myself mm-hmm. is I should have stayed on that squad. I wanted to come to Hollywood so bad that I just felt I followed my gut. And I'd just gotten a gig with Buena Vista for the John Sally show. And we sold the country. And then they put Keenan Ivan Wayans on in my spot. And I was 32 years old. I don't think I was trying to be Johnny Carson. I don't think I had enough education. So the universe has a way of presenting itself. So now I got the John Sally Crypto show, which will come out in June. And it's everything. But I had to put crypto in because Rich Eisner's show was already taken.
Well, you know what? I get that. And at least it worked out here you're the king of kicking off three-peats.
Yes.
You know? So you had the first of the second three-peat with the Bulls, and then you had the first of the three-peat with the Lakers.
Yeah, and you know, Phil got me, man. I'm gonna tell you, Phil, I did a really good job that year, standing next to Kobe and hearing Shaquille. And I thought I had a great position right there. I thought my position was really good on being able to navigate between the both of them. And the only reason I had to do that is because Kobe was just turning 21. It wasn't that he had a problem with Shaq or Shaq had a problem with him. He was coming into who he was. And there's only one basketball. And I thought I would have been, you know, still greater. But they got Mark Madsen, right? Mike, is that his name?
Yeah.
And he was great for them. He was great for them. And he played, and he had a different energy than I did. So I think it worked out in their favor. But, man, I wish I would have stayed on collecting $1.3 million to say, young fella, what you doing? Don't get another foul. I'm not taped. I'm telling you, I'm not taped. So, but I think it would have been great just being on the Lakers. I watch the Lakers show now, and they really need me there. So, Jeannie, listen to your boy. Hire Mark Jackson, first things first. Two, you need to get guys on the squad who really will run through a brick wall and not care. You need the stars, but you need also them to all sit around and get along and figure out how to do things.
Sneakerella, available on Disney Plus, starring John Sally, at the John Sally on Twitter, at John Sally on Instagram. Anytime. I mean it.
John, I saw your wife out. She was like, you ain't been on the show yet. I said, talk to your husband. What's the deal? You know what I'm saying? And then, you know,
I
snatched a watch.
These are true.
I snatched a watch.
That's what happens.
I got a Rolex for that. Check out Sneakerella
on Disney Plus, available for streaming right now. John Sally here on the show. We'll be back to wrap this one up in a second.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Callaway Rogue ST Irons coming, four different offerings. You're going to love any of them. However, there's one particularly for your game. For instance, you're a low to mid single digit handicapper. There's the Rogue ST Pro. This is going to give you the hollow body construction and sleek, compact player's shape. The Rogue ST Max is for the most folks because of their incredible combination of speed, forgiveness, and all-around performance. There is the Max OS Lite, the most high launch iron that's forgiving. Wider soles, increased lofts, and a lightweight package for players with lower swing speeds. The Max OS is for the mid to high handicappers that want high launch with enhanced offset. The bottom line is the Rogue ST irons in their four different offerings. All of them use artificial intelligence on high strength 450 steel, the only irons ever to do so. So all you got to do is check them out. Find your Rogue ST irons at CallawayGolf.com/go rogue. How great's John Sally?
So good.
Crazy that that's the first time we've ever had him in here.
I honestly, you know how I am with this show. I'm like a walking encyclopedia. Clearly, there's institutional knowledge here. I could have sworn he's been here before. Yeah. He said
time.
He wasn't.
First time.
And I know Susie's always like, because she knows John from back in the Fox Sports Net days.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, best damn sports
best
show.
Best damn sports show and all
every
that.
Every day.
Right?
Yeah,
she knew John. She's known... The latest example of somebody who's known Susie longer than I have.
That's everybody.
And I know, right? And so she will definitely say, you know, I saw John. He said he's not been on your show. And I've been that's, I guess, my bad. It's on me. But how come he looked at you when it came to manicures, pedicures, and smoking?
I mean, I've had a manicure and a pedicure, and I don't know about the rest.
Listen, Mom's is watching, right? You got to be careful.
I would imagine. Yeah,
I plead the fifth. Exactly.
Maybe my presence here just made him feel some type of comfort.
Well, he did because when there's an in studio guest, get up and you know you go back. You go back into your, if you will, original role here.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is to
I was a greeter.
Document. Well, yeah. And post.
Mm-hmm.
You document and you post. So sometimes you leave your post.
Yeah. To come over and snap pictures. Yeah,
and
yeah.
He just saw, like, he
felt the presence.
Well, he's got the periphery.
Yeah.
He's got peripheral vision.
Yeah,
he's feeling it.
How about him saying that if he had known and the Pistons had known that they were in the head of the Bulls, they would have rode that a little bit more.
How did they not know?
How did they not? Because I knew they were. They were in everybody's heads.
Yeah.
And by the way, Lambeer threw Larry Bird to the
By the way, I've watched this line out 10 times.
He definitely clotheslined
1,000%.
He threw him down.
He like body slams him.
It's like if he'd done that now, that's a flagrant million. Like it's, there's not a number. There's not a number that could be associated with the flagrancy.
Auto
of that.
Ejection,
yeah.
Guaranteed one game suspension.
At least. More, multiple.
Yeah, it's multiple.
I mean, that's a WrestleMania move. So, not surprised that Larry Bird hated Bill Laimbeer because guess what? So did everybody else that wasn't on his team. But how about him saying he'd been the greatest Celtic of all time?
I mean, that 40 would have been up in the rafters.
Damn straight it would have been. You've been loving Laimbeer this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
You know it. Thanks to John Sally. Thank you also to Tim Kalashaw, Ross Tucker, and then Steve Young popping in saying that he thought Mooch was sick, not bending down on a knee to take a photograph with him years ago.